rocks and bright stars, through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, they proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, thus be it there when freedom shall stand between loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed victory and peace, may the head rest in its hand. Praise the power that had made and preserved us a nation. Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into to Christ the King. countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Dear God, we're so thankful and elated to be here to worship you once again this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to do so, God, and for our nation, which is the greatest nation the world has ever known. We just thank you for the people that sacrificed their lives on behalf to give us this freedom. There's no other nation like this, Lord, and I get choked up sometimes, Lord, just mulled it over in my mind. So God, just be with us, God, in this service this morning, Lord. Thank you for those that chose to be here, God. We just pray a blessing upon them and always upon the preaching of your word, Brother Mike, God, as he tells us what thus saith the Lord. So God, be with us, Lord, and on this offering, God, we just pray that it'll suffice to meet the need of the church. In this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Invited to stand.
My Ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read a couple of verses from there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle, Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, was at Corinth to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that is in every place, call upon the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for all the magnificent blessings you shower on us day by day. moment by moment, hour by hour. And we do thank you, Father, for all those that have served and did so in an honorable way. And we thank you for the country we live in. We ask you to be with our leaders, tune their hearts, bring them together, let them listen to you. And if they listen to you, there'll be harmony and it'll be beautiful. So, Lord, keep us where we need to be. Overcome all our situations that we so in arrogant pride set before you. Break those down and tune our hearts to thee. Lord, we thank you for those that are here today. Lord, those are meeting all over this nation to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, it is Veterans Day, excuse me. On behalf of a grateful nation today, this is Veterans Day, and it gives us the opportunity to remember our nation's veterans, to remember their service and their sacrifice. Some were wounded, and some gave their lives, as the poet said, their last full measure to defend this country. I don't know if you know, but World War II, we did not start. The Germans and the Japanese declared war on us. Now, the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor, and the Germans were in compact or had a treaty together. And so when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, then the Germans proclaimed war against us. We didn't want to go into that war. But sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. Well, as many of you know, my dad was in the Army Air Force at first. The Army Air Force became the Air Force later on. And my dad's brother, Merle, was in the Airborne. And he jumped in Italy. He made three jumps, and he was wounded. Just recently, about 5 years ago, they took some shrapnel out of his behind that had been floating around in there for years and years and years. My Uncle John, my mom's brother, was with General MacArthur in the Pacific. Sonia's dad, Johnny's strength, was in the Navy in the Pacific. He was on a Jeep carrier that saw extensive action. I remember talking to her dad. We have a picture of the boat, or the ship. I'm in the Air Force. I don't know about boats and ships. Is it a ship or a boat? Whatever it is. It's big, but it was called a Jeep carrier because it was a small carrier. And they were attacked many, many times, actually. And he was strong enough to say that it was terrifying. It was terrifying. But they did what they were taught to do and trained to do. So these things happen all over the place and in many, many ways. Now, of course, you know my wife, Sonia, was a first lieutenant in the United States Air Force. She was an RN, and she was serving during the Vietnam War. I was in the Air Force as well, I was just a buck sergeant. I've never been able to outrank her. But let me offer three reasons why we should emphasize Veterans Day. Some people don't want to do it. Some people don't want to make any acknowledgement that the service people, Army, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, they don't want to say boo to them. I think those people are, I can't say that from the pulpit. I think they were wrong, and they are wrong. First, we should recognize our veterans because if we don't, then it shows ingratitude. Aren't you glad you didn't have to go? Aren't you glad you didn't have to do some of those things? I hope you do. So it shows ingratitude if we don't recognize those things. The Apostle Paul opens 1 Corinthians. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Socinius, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, that means to be set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. Some people don't like that. We can't be saints. Well, we're not saints like you're thinking about. We're saints as the Bible talks about saints. And so, yes, if your heart and mind belong to Jesus, you're a saint. within all places upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both them and ours. Grace, Paul says, be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Christ Jesus. Paul spoke many, many times about the relationship that we have as individuals, but he also talked many, many times about us as a group, as a saved church, as being the people of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you. It's given to you. You didn't earn it. Jesus paid for it. Over in Philippians, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I always think about that when I read that verse, in the sense of, I wonder what you think about when you think of me. I wonder if you say, oh, Lord, what a mess. But I ask you to bless the old codger's heart and mind, lift him up and use him a little bit. Help him to speak to me today. That's okay. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. If we don't remember each other and we don't pray for each other, then listen, we're not going to last long as anything, a church, a nation, as a people. Do you know someone that you could, maybe even today, they're not here, but you know them, and you're friends with them, that you could call after this service and say, hello, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. I just want to thank God for you, and we love you, and I'm thinking about you. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. He must have been Southern, wasn't he? Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. I don't know any vet who enlisted for praise. Do you? I don't know anybody. But I do know vets who carry emotional, physical scars from their service. I know that. Something like a simple thank you may well encourage that person, may well lift them up. They may be in the pits because of an injury or a loss of a limb or some catastrophic injury. It was not for nothing. It was for something noble. Well, I hope that you can think of somebody. That's your assignment today. Think of somebody. Call them up this afternoon. Say, hi. How can I say that? How do you say that? Say that, Vondell. No, hi. 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 Say hi. Freedom is a precious gift, and we are here today to thank the Lord God Almighty for giving us the freedom we have, the life we have, because he went to the cross. Jesus paid it all for us. The greatest gift of all, our salvation. Over in 1 John, John tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. In Acts, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is an exhortation for pastors and for ministers and missionaries and for Bible teachers and children's teachers. It doesn't just apply to pastors. And we need to think about that. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, I think, and I'm glad, that some of the false bravado that was going on about 10 years ago about the blood of Christ. It's so horrible to talk about the blood of Christ. Well, it's not. It's not. peace through the blood of his cross. By him, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, reconciled. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through, what? His blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Obviously, the Apostle Paul did not think that through his blood or in his blood was some kind of offensive thing. I think he was looking at it as a sacrificial love of giving one's life for you and for me. And that he not only paid our sin debt, but he raised us and put us into the very household and family of God. Isn't that marvelous? You remember I've told you that on the 11th hour, on the 11th day, on the 11th month in 1918, 105 years ago, that terrible First World War ended. Praise God. President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate the end of that horrible war. In 1938, the day was then declared a national holiday. In 1954, it was renamed Veterans Day. We rightly honor our veterans because of their service to the United States of America and to us as individuals. Some of us give up comforts in our homes. Some of us give up some wealth, but some gave all. So we rightly should understand that freedom is never free. The freedom we enjoy in Christ cost Jesus. He went to that cross to die for it. He had to shed his blood. There's no remission of sins without that sacrifice. It's important. It's mammoth. This rightly understood about freedom that is never free should come to our format on days like this in particular. Some paid the price to allow us to live to do these things. I remember talking to Sonia's dad many, many years ago, and we have a picture of his aircraft carrier in our hallway, and it was called a Jeep carrier. Anybody know what that means? It's a little one. A little one. And he said that when they were attacked by the Japanese, and they were attacked many times, he said one thing was common. People were terrified. But one thing was also common. They were trained to do their duty, and they did their duty. And even though their ship was battered, it came through the storm. I rightly understand that freedom is never free. Somebody has to stand up for it. Somebody has to be willing to pay a price that we might be able to enjoy that as a group. In the same way that we're born-again believers, receiving forgiveness is not free, is it? Jesus paid it. He paid the debt. And we honor him and recognize him with this gift in supporting our missions, building local churches, teaching the scriptures, teaching our children, and preaching the gospel and worshiping together. My dad's box there, the flag there, that flag is the folds of honor. That's that little triangular-looking thing there. At my dad's funeral, I was presented that flag. And the honor guard guy said, on behalf of the President of the United States, the grateful nation, I present you this flag. I'll tell you, at that particular moment, I was thinking, I'd rather have my dad. But from the Revolutionary War, through the War of 1812, through the Indian Wars, the Mexican War, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, two World Wars, Korean War, Vietnam, Korea, Gulf War, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, 43 million men and women have served this country in armed forces of some way, shape, fashion, or another. That's a lot of folks. And we are the recipients of their willingness to protect and defend us. We should say, what? Thank you. Well, on behalf of a grateful nation, I say thank you. May not have realized it, but when we get down on our knees and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us and be the Lord of our life, you became a soldier in the army of God. 2 Timothy says, thou, therefore, endure hardship as a really nice guy in Jesus Christ. That's what it says. It says, thou, therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're in God's army. Somebody made the comparison, and here's what they said. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commanding officer. The Scripture is our code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are our weapons of warfare, and surely that's true. And we have been taught by the Holy Spirit and trained through the experiences we have in life to honor Him and to represent Him as representatives in this world. Oh, yes, I don't think we like this very much, but we're being attacked and by adversity all the time. We're being tested all the time. Some days we do well. Some days we don't do so well. I remember years and years ago, we were on that building out there, and Brother Jack was up there, and some of you know that heights is not exactly my great thing. Mounting this pulpit is about as high as the Lord's going to have to come back, because I ain't going up willfully anyway. And so we were sitting on that roof out there doing shingles, and we had a couple of guys help us that day that had not been there before. They were talking, and somebody said something about something. And the other one says, well, he's the pastor here. And I thought to myself, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. But he's the pastor here. And so then this kid, I'm pretty sure that both of them were Amish. We had four Amish guys help us with those windows in the back there. That was really cool. We had a lift, and I put, you know, those pallets that you put stuff on. We had a couple of those because they brought stuff out, shingles and things. I slipped that pallet over the forks on the forklift, and then I tied the pallet to the forklift. And then I put up railings on the side of the forklift, and I put a 2x12 or 2x6, I guess, across there in the front, because if I'm getting on that thing, I don't want to fall off. So anyway, that's what it was, and one of the kids, we were trying to get those last bit of the siding up on the back window, the back wall back there, so that could be completed. And somebody said, we can do that if somebody can run this lift. I said, well, I can do that. I ain't going to get up their way, but I can run the lift. And so those two guys hopped on that thing, and they started to go up, and then they said, down, 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 down. Okay, so I went back down, and the kid says to me, is there any way we could take that contraption off here? And I thought to myself, what, are you kidding? This is your safety, man. This is holding you in there. And he said, no, really. He said, we'll do much better if you take this off. So I said, okay, but, you know, I'm really reluctant about that. So we took it off. And, you know, the pallet itself, they decided, now put the forklift underneath that and we'll stand on the pallet. But they didn't have all my good guardrails and stuff like that. And we went up and started doing that roof. And then, oh, my goodness, I'm sitting there on the back of that forklift, and one of these kids takes the side, and he grabs it, and he goes, and he swung out. Boom, 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 and he swung back. Yeah. And then the other kid, I guess, said, oh, well, that's, yeah, I can do that too. So he swung out. Bop, bop, bop. You know, pounded some nails in there. They finished that without the safety things that I had on there. And then they put it on the ground. And they said, thank you very much. And they said, do you think you could take us home now? And I said, well, sure. And so we were going along. And we're headed out to Dotary Road. And one guy says, so you're the pastor there? I said, yes. He said, you don't look like a pastor. I've had that said to me quite a bit. I wonder why pastors, why they don't look like one? Is it some kind? Oh, I know why. Because I'm not good looking. I don't have the hair and all that good stuff. No, anyway, you're the pastor, huh? I said, yeah. And they said to me, when we get home, can you take us down the lane to the house? And I said, well, sure, you know. So we went down the lane to the house, and I don't know what, they had a wolf pack down there. About halfway down the road, dog barking all over the place. These guys are out in the front of that thing, bopping around. And I thought, I'm glad I'm in the truck. I'm not going to be outside there. And so they got out and off, and I guess it was their dad came out and said, well, did the boys do okay today? I said, well, sir, I think they did fine. We got it done, finished, and we're ready now for them to come around the building and put those other things up underneath the soffit, I guess, and finish that off. And he said, well, that's good. He said, I'm glad we could help you out. And I said something to him. I said, well, you know, we would like to say thank you to you. And I said, is there any possible thing that we can do for you? And he said, no, not a thing. He said, but I thought this was amazing. He said, you could pray for us. Yeah. You know what I thought he meant? I thought he meant, could you pray for us someday? You know what he meant? Right now. Yeah. And so I parked it, got out, and we prayed. And I asked a blessing on them. And I asked them that Jesus would be magnified in their lives. About 6 or 7 days later, another truck came by, had some Amish guys in, and they stopped. And this one kid came running up, and he came. He said, boy, he said, you know, my dad has never talked to anybody like that before. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he actually talked to you as if you were a human being and that you might know Christ. I said, well, that's good. That's good. He said, remember my dad? He said, I think my dad is a legalist. He thinks he has to do this, 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 and this to favor, to garner favor of God. And as long as he does good works, he's saved. But if he doesn't do good works, he's lost. And so he never knows when he's lost or when he's saved. And I thought to myself, isn't that a terrible, terrible thing to never have any assurance of your salvation? Well, I did pray for him many, many times after that. I'm thinking about it just right now. Lord, I don't know where that man is. He might be in heaven, and he might be somewhere else. But Lord, those boys are alive. Be with them. Well, listen, when we think of what Jesus did for us, we're talking about the victory in Christ on the cross. That was gruesome. The Romans didn't invent crucifixion. I think I've said that before. The Romans thought, though, this was a good way to kill people. Because you put them on the cross, and they don't die right off the bat. And you put them out on a main road. So you're coming into Rome, for example. And as I understand it, one particular time, there were 1,500 crosses as you came into Rome that had men dying on those crosses. What were the Romans saying? Don't mess with us. This is what happens to you. You know what Jesus was saying? I have had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And it cost you a thing. I'll give it to you by faith. Isn't that marvelous? A whole other attitude, a whole other mindset. It's a free gift of God. Because of who Jesus was, what he did, and all those kind of things. He paid the sin debt on Calvary's tree. He became our commander-in-chief, if we want to think in military terms. And the Apostle Paul instructs young Timothy over in 2 Timothy. He tells him in chapter 2, he says, thou therefore endure hardship. Paul, I think, understood that everything's not roses when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. Life has a way of hitting us hard, crushing our spirits sometimes, and causing us to want to sit on the sidelines. And I suspect you know some people who maybe used to be faithful in their service and worship, who used to carry their Bible, who used to come to Bible study, who used to do a lot of things, and now they're not. I don't know what specifically has happened, but I know what generally has happened. They've become discouraged. Life has thrown them a left hook, and they're down. They don't have to be out, though. And so when we meet those kind of people, it's incumbent upon us to encourage them. Because I don't think the Lord has thought anything different about who they are. Matter of fact, I think the Lord is looking for and wanting people to encourage them. Get up off your knees, stop whining, crying, complaining, and start doing the things that you know to do. But now, it's hard, isn't it? But let me suggest, first, maybe make a prayer list. Stick it in your Bible. Pray for those folks. Maybe send a little card to encourage them somehow or another. Those little cards are unbelievably encouraging and strong. Don't push. You can't push. But if you remain faithful yourself and remain with a steadfast attitude in Christ, you will show Jesus to them, and that reflection will be, again, be something that will draw them. The Bible never says anything about, we could do these things. David faced many of the same kind of oppositions that we face today. Read some of the Psalms. But he didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't allow himself to become paralyzed. Over in 1 Peter, Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things have happened to you." I think that's what we think. Oh, Lord, I gave my heart and life, and now things are not any better than they were before. Well, they are, but in this world, maybe not. But in the eternity of existence, there's a big change. He says, concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange things happened to you. Then what does he say? Rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye bear reproach for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. Just think of that. One of the very popular, well-known evangelists in Korea, Billy Kim, came to our base, and he shared 3 days with us, and it was fun, and he was really quite challenging and really gave you that kind of impression that you don't sit there wallowing in the mire of self-pity. Get up, stand up. Jesus is with you. And he told about the story that when he was a young child that the communists came through his village and they lined up everybody outside the village, and they asked who the pastor was. Do you have any elders or deacons or anything like that? So they had four of those people, pastor and four people. They can come out here, get on your knees, and they went down one by one. Bang, 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 shooting them in the head. And then they said to the people that were still left in that village, "Now who are you going to serve? This Jesus who can't do anything to save you, or serve communism?" And a little 6-year-old girl stepped forward and she said, "I'm going to serve Jesus." I understand that that detail was led by a communist lieutenant. And he looked at that little girl, he pulled his pistol out, he stuck it to her head, and then he said, "We're leaving." And he put his pistol back in his holster, and they left. with that little girl standing in front of the whole village. I don't know how you would think about that, but I think that Billy Kim was trying to help us see that it does matter what we say and what we do, and we can never be sure what just simply stepping out in faith will do. His idea was she saved the whole village. These guys can't be true to their God. They can't be true to communism. And they left. And amazing, isn't it? Just think of that. Listen. Are you glad to be here this morning? I hope you are. Because you could be in a lot of other places. As the old saying, you might be in the hospital down there. You could be out there in the hospital or over at Lutheran. They're going to give you good care. Bob, they give you good care, don't they? They really try to do the best they can for you. But listen, that's not what we want to be either. But when we're in the tender hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we are safe and secure, and that no matter what we face, He will never leave us nor forsake us. May God bless you today as He has blessed us in so many ways. May God bless those families today that on these days, like Veterans Day, when they think of Grandpa or someone in their family that did not come back from the war, that you might touch their hearts and let them understand that these sacrifices are not in vain, not in vain at all. Heavenly Father, thank you for even this kind of overcast, dismal day, rainy, no sun. Lord, we thank you because we're not supposed to be guided and directed by circumstances or by those things that challenge our lives. We're to be guided by your love. We're to recognize that this cross represents life, not death. Jesus died on that cross, but he arose again the third day. He is a risen Savior who's in the world today. And I know that he's living, the song says, whatever men may say. Help us, Father. Our nation is teetering, wavering. Help us to be the lights in this world, in our country, our neighborhood, our area. Help us, Father, to support missions. Help us, Father, to pray for our missionaries. Help us, Father, to be the kind of people you'd be well pleased with, that one day we'll meet you face to face. And we'll hear that, well done, good and faithful service. If you have a decision to make open publicly today, you come. This is an invitation for you. You've never received Christ. This is the day. Don't put it off. Don't hesitate.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No one go with me, I say we'll follow. No one go with me, I say we'll follow. No one go with me, I say we'll follow. No turning back, no turning back. Here we till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
But we're going to be dismissed in just a few moments. I'd like you to consider turning to that right or left, shaking hands with somebody, say, boy, it's good to see you, sister. Good to see you, brother. Just a, somehow another exhortation that was good. You were in the house of God. Good to see them in the house of God. I remember when I first got saved, and I know people get so tired of me talking about these things, but I was in our squadron, and Mike Jester was one of the guys who was witnessing to me right along. The other guy's name was Ron Renner. Ron lives down in Indianapolis. I'm just getting back up here again one of these days. He's 6'5", big guy. Handsome guy, isn't he? Very nice-looking kid. Well, he's not a kid. He's probably the same age as I am now. But anyway, Mike was telling me, he said, let's go to the barracks and see if Ron's there. I thought, well, I don't know why we had to do that. You know, but anyway, that's what he wanted to do. Taylor, come up here a minute. So Ron is coming down the hallway just like this. Like that. Just like this. And I run up and gave him a hug. I lifted him up. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah. Thank you, brother. And Ron said, what's happened to you? That was the first time I shared publicly what had happened to me. What's happened to you? It should be wonderful. It should be something that you can share. Oh, it just takes a few minutes. Let God honor that gift that you have to be used for Him as well, okay? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for all those that have gone before us. We thank you for our military, but Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for our pastors and our teachers. We thank you, Father, for our schools, radio programs that go into communist China and all kinds of things in their multitude of languages in China. Right there from Seoul, Korea, transmitting into communist China, the missionaries there. Lord, thank you for who you are. You are the great and mighty God who gave himself for us that we might be reconciled through his blood, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.